Raw diseases, a shelter in the tide of storm. Oh, Jesus is running a weary day, weary day, a weary day. Oh, Jesus is running a weary day, shattering the tide of storm. A ship by day, day one by night, sheltering the tide of storm. Oh, Jesus is running away, very late, very late. Oh, Jesus is running away, shattering the tide of storm. May find us be a shelter in the tide of storm. Oh, Jesus is running a weary lay, a weary lay, a weary lay. Oh, Jesus is running a weary lay, a sheltering the tide of storm. Oh, ready by the refuge, a sheltering the tide of storm. Shattering the tide of storm. Oh, Jesus is running a weary lane, weary lane, a weary lane. Oh, Jesus is running a weary lane, shattering the tide of storm.
Let's all pray in one accord.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue to study from the book of Hebrew. Now, we shall continue to Hebrew chapter 3. Hebrew chapter 3. This morning, we talk about the warning of the Holy Spirit for that generation. Because, as we say, start from chapter 3, now they start to talk about, the author of Hebrews start to talk about Moses. Moses is a character that was greatly honored, highly respected by the Israelites. Okay? However, as much as they were so proud of their ancestor, as much as they are so proud to have Moses led them in the wilderness. In here, the author of Hebrew basically smacked them on the face, like slapped them on the face and say, see, the Moses that you so respect, that your forefather betrayed him, deserted him, even tried to kill him. Okay? Because, yes, when they were in the desert, there were times that when they want to go back to Egypt, and Moses said, don't, and they want to pick up the stone and stone him and kill him. They say that we will find a new leader. We don't want Moses anymore. We will not have Moses. We will find a new leader, and the new leader will lead us back to Egypt. Okay? All those are the obvious historical facts that every Israel knows. So basically when they say, but we love Moses, the author say, see, you are so proud to be the descendants of Abraham. You are so proud to have Moses. But see, your ancestor betrayed him, rejected him, and even tried to kill him. Okay? The author of Hebrew is not the first person. It's not the first person make such a realization, okay? When the Israelites say to Jesus, we have Abraham as our forefather, what did Jesus say? No, your father is Satan. You all know about this, right? No, okay. Fine. Read Bible, okay? And also another occasion is when, what is his name? Stephen? Okay, Stephen, in the book of Acts, when he was accused, he made a long historical reminder to that generation. And what did he say? He said that, your forefather betrayed the Holy One. Okay, so there are several recording in the Bible. Though that they were so proud of Moses, but they were but in that generation, the people of Israel not only rejected him, betrayed him, they even tried to kill him. Okay, and the same thing. The author of Hebrew is doing the same thing. So when they start, from chapter 3, when the comparison between Moses and Jesus, even before this comparison, he brought this up again and said that, hey, you guys are not very nice to Moses. Even you always talk about him. Okay? So in here, the author went back to the time when they were in the wilderness, went back to the history, talking about why that particular generation were rejected by God. Okay? This is the time of Moses supposed to be a glorious moment. When they left Egypt, the Bible says the army of the Lord, set out onto the journey. It was a beautiful statement saying, they are the army of the Lord. But after all this time in the journey in the wilderness, what did God say? My heart detests that generation. From the army of the Lord to turn into a generation dislike, detestable, okay, gross in the eyes of the Lord. Look at disgusting. Why? From a generation that's mighty and powerful, they are called the army of the Lord, and later turn into a generation that I do not like in my heart. Why? Okay? So that's something that for everyone to keep in our heart, that in here, we are the army of the Lord. We are trained in this camp. We are prepared to set out as the army of the Lord. So at the end of this NYTS, we shall all get up and marching out as the army of the Lord. But how about after we march out? So be very careful. We need to continue to be the army of the Lord, to find delight in his eyes. Do not end up like the Israelites, because at the end, how many people enter? Out of 600,000, only two that were found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? We're talking about the guy 600,000 male above 20 years old. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Above 20 years old, only two were able to enter into the land of Canaan. And that's a great tragedy. Okay, now we want to look at the warning. Now let's go back to the warning of the Holy Spirit. Huh? The warning of the Holy Spirit. Why? This beautiful and powerful generation who happened to eyewitness the greatest work of the Lord in the history. Seriously, this is the generation who got to eyewitness firsthand the greatest moment of miracle and sign. How God single-handedly overturned a powerful dynasty just for his own people. Egypt was the strongest, the most powerful empire in that generation. But for the sake of Israelites, God had no problem send down the 10 plague, ruin all the prosperity of Egyptian empire, drawn all the Egyptian armies to wipe out their military force, only for who? For you. For his people. Okay? So that was the glorious moment for you. God would do anything to save you. However, from glory ended in tragedy. Why? Okay? So the problem that we mentioned this morning, we talk about they do not listen. Okay? Here says that they are hard-hearted. Okay? They do not listen. Number two, they do not change. Because they keep on saying, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Okay? Even after seeing all the miracles. So the Bible here says that you test me, and you try me. Okay? This is in Exodus chapter 17. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. Again, this is when they ran out of water and they complain and grumble and got angry with God, with Moses. So Moses struck the rock and water came out, water flowed out, okay? But if you look at chapter 17, verse 7. So he called the name of the place Mesha and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the sentence. This is the sentence that ruined their future. This is a sentence that destroyed their opportunity in the eyes of the Lord. This is a sentence why God gave up on them and said, forget about it. Forget about it. It's when after seeing the 10th plague, after seeing the Red Sea parted, after seeing manna came down from heaven, after seeing... Antun叫什么? What is that bird? Quail. After seeing quail fill the ground to provide the meat, after seeing one miracle after another, one provision after another, they live day by day in the grace of God, seeing miracle every single day. But when even one thing that did not cater into their desire, immediately they say, where is God? I don't see God. There's no God. Is there God? Is there God? You know, they knew that God exists. They totally know God exists, but they never put that in their heart. That's what they mean by they test me, they try me, they see miracles, but they don't care. They just want to gratify their desire. So in here, when they are in lack, no water, immediately they start to quarrel and say, where is God? God is not here. If God is here, how come no water? Okay. Contention. Always very childish. Never show any gratitude. Never say thank you. Never remember God's mercy. So at the end, it's the same story over and over and over. That's why they are circling and circling in the desert. The Bible says, until that generation perish. God didn't want any of them. God dislike a generation that shows no gratitude. Okay? So here says that they test God, they try God, and they never keep the grace of God in their heart. Okay? Never remember. Only know how to complain. So, that's the second problem. They do not listen. They do not change. Number three, they do not know. Do not know. Ignorant. So, this is a generation that do not know about the decree of the Lord. This is a generation that never try to understand the will of God. So they turn from the army of the Lord to a generation that fall and perish in the desert. So if we do not pay attention in our journey of faith, if we are in the church but never equipped with the words of the Lord, we can be in the church but die in the church spiritually. So if you look at in Genesis when they talk about the Ark of Noah, this is the Ark of Salvation, the Ark of Salvation that's supposed to save the family of Noah, save that generation. But there is one requirement. There's one requirement when God say to Noah, he say, you prepare food. God say, you prepare food for you, for your family, and for all the animals. Okay? God never say to Noah, oh, you know what? This ark is so big and you have so much work on hand. I know you are busy, And you know what? All those animals, I'm asking you for a favor to take care of them, so I shall give you food. And then, ha, snap, food shower from heaven. It never happened like that. Not only God entrust Noah with the responsibility of those animals, at the same time, God said to Noah, you prepare food. You go, you do it, you do it yourself. You prepare food. Can you imagine that Noah got lazy and said, ah, forget about it. No, it's okay. I'll worry about it later. So if Noah entered into the ark of salvation with his family, but without any preparation of food, what would happen? Yeah, I know, we'll just eat the animal, right? I know, you guys. We're going to barbecue the animals. No, at that generation, they do not eat meat, okay? They do not eat meat. They only start eating meat after the flood. Okay? So you are looking at all those animals, and they are staring back at you, and you hear the growling of your stomach, and then you can hear, elephant is hungry. What are you going to do about that? And then what will happen after the flood? Everyone will be dead in there. My point is, you can be in the ark of salvation, but still die inside. You could. You can be living in the church of God, the pathway to heaven, but still die on the journey. Why? If you do not prepare food, cultivation, study the words of God, equip yourself, kneel down and pray. If you do not have any of that, even you are in the church of God, you won't survive. You will not. Okay? So, that's another thing we shall be reminded. Be prepared. Okay? So, now they have a problem. What's the problem? The third problem is that they never know the decree of the Lord. So this is the generation with a very confused mind. Okay? In the book of Acts, he also said that this generation, they are so easily persuaded. Why? Because when they were in their journey in the wilderness, when they see something, they want to have it. What am I talking about? When they were in the desert, they see the practice of other people, like the Moabites, other foreign countries. And then immediately they want to imitate. They have this craving of other people. Wow, see what they have? They have this image. We have nothing. Okay, so you know what? That's why they immediately in the desert, when they encounter Canaanites, so fast, immediately they start to adapt. They learn and then adapt. Adapt what? Adapt idol worshiping practice, because they always feel other people's stuff is better. You know what? Many people are like that. That's why we say the moon in America is even bigger and rounder. There's such a thing? Rounder? You sure? You didn't just make this up. Okay. Rounder. All right. So American moon is bigger, brighter, and rounder. Okay. You know what? You always feel that other people got better stuff, right? So you know what happened? Because the Israelites were never rooted in their faith is very much built upon who? Moses. In Mount Sinai, when God said, I want to talk to the people, and the people say, no, you talk to Moses. You are too far from us. You just talk to Moses and let Moses talk to us. Okay? So their faith is never built upon God. Their faith is built upon what? Upon manna from heaven. Their faith is built upon water from the rock. Their faith is built upon Moses. who did everything for them. That's why the Lord said, this is a generation who know nothing. Who know nothing. Why? The faith was never rooted to become their own. So, the Bible always says, God is the God of Abraham. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the question is this God the God of your grandfather, your father, or this God is also your own God? Okay, that will make a big difference. So is your faith built purely upon the influence of your family or built upon a custom? You are so used to come. You are just accustomed to come to church. Or you are having a personal, direct connection to this God that you worship. Okay? So they do not listen, they do not change, and they do not know about this God. Continue. If you go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 in verse 12, 13, and 14. Solution. Okay, so this is the problem, issue, problem that they have. Now, the law, in book of Hebrew, they provide solution. Solution. In here, the author provides two solutions in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Okay? In depart from the living God. So, now, how do you deal with unbelieving? Leaving the faith or after another God, huh? How do you deal with this problem? After another God. This could be another religion, another faith, another denomination, or it could be the God of the world. Okay? It could be the world, the God of the world. How do you deal with this problem? When a person leaves the church, they are always enticed by another God. A person who commits sexual immorality is enticed by the God of sexual immorality. Another God, another idol. Another idol. Okay? A person who cares so much about making more money and unable to attend the service. And slowly, they disappear from the journey of faith. They were enticed by the God of money or the God of the world. Okay? So when you leave your faith, it's always enticed by another God. Okay? Another God. Something that impacts you and influence you. So then here, what is the solution? There is nothing but beware. There is no other solution. Be careful. Do not be drunk. According to the book of Ephesians, don't get drunk. Do not be drunk by the things of the world. Do not be drunk by the lust of your flesh. Do not be drunk by the pursuit of a great success or richness in life. I'm not saying being rich is wrong. Again, Abraham is very, very wealthy. So personally, I have nothing against wealthy person. I am not one, but I don't mind to be one. Okay? It might be difficult, but hey, you know what? Money is neutral. Money is not sin or money is Satan. Then you know what? You can give it to me. I don't mind, huh? So, money itself is neutral. It's what you do in order to receive, to obtain. Okay? So, there are people, members, who are very wealthy, but they use their money in a very religious way or a very, very positive way. There was a very wealthy brother in in Africa. He is probably one of the most wealthy brothers that I know in Africa. Very, very wealthy. But if you look at him, you can tell. Because he always dressed very simple and he eat very simple too. I still remember when I was in Dubai. I was in Dubai for spiritual convocation, and he was the person that took care of me. Okay? Still remember that after the spiritual convocation, it has been a long day, and it has been it was about 8 o'clock. We haven't eaten anything. Okay, so he said that, "Oh, Pastor, you know that, thank God, now we finished our spiritual convocation. And thank God everything went so smoothly. You know what? You are leaving tomorrow. Why don't I take you around to see Dubai?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." And my first time in Dubai, okay? Very misleading, okay? So, you know what? He actually took me to the more famous, where the new hotel, Atlantis? Like the new nice hotel, we drove by, passing the front door. Okay, we drove by, and then we continue, and then we continue to drive a little bit, and then we got off the car. He said, "Pastor, this is the most famous restaurant. It's huge, and very lavishly decorated." He said that this is the most famous Thai food, Thai/Asian cuisine. So I was like, okay, in my heart, I was like, okay, we eat here, huh? He went in, I follow him. After about 10 minutes, we walk out and he said, "Beautiful, huh?" And we went home. Okay, so what did I have for dinner on that day? From that evening until the next morning, I ate about like four apples. Yeah. Because I in Nigeria, most of the time they eat one meal a day. Lunch, they have a huge lunch. So they are not hungry, but I am. Because if you never train, you cannot eat that kind of volume at once. You can't. They eat a small mountain. One, and then it lasts them through the next like whole day. And at first, I didn't know, so I was like, "Oh, okay, you guys just eat a lot." So I only took like my regular portion until evening, and I look out from my door. I was like, "Oh, there are people doing in the kitchen. They are still preparing food." 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I was like, maybe they have late dinner. 8 o'clock, I open the door. I still seeing some, hear something in the kitchen. 9 o'clock, I open the door. There's nothing. All the light is off. Everybody went to sleep. Right? And since then, every time I go, I always bring those energy bar with me. Energy bar everywhere I go. Right? So, why am I talking about this? What? Oh, the brother, the very, very wealthy brother. But you know what? He himself live a very, very simple life. Eat very simple, dress very simple. Now, always a slipper everywhere. I got sandal everywhere. It's very hard thing to buy too. But the thing is, he doesn't spend money on himself. He always tell me, "It's not my money. It's not my money. It's God's money. God's money." I always call him gold finger. Because whatever he touch, any business he touch, it turn into gold. Really? You know, he began as an interior design company in Africa. I was like, "Who do you design house for?" Seriously, like 20, 30 years ago. Now Africa is quite good, but like 30 years ago, when you live in the mud house, or a house is made with like cow dirt, who are you designing for? He actually began all his business with interior design firm, a company specialized in interior design. And I was like, "Is that your major?" "I'm uneducated." You know, that it's really interesting. But anything that he touched into turning to gold, turned into a very successful business. But he always told me that any business must serve a greater purpose. The purpose is it must be used for God. So right now, a few years ago, when I first in Dubai, he newly opened a food processing factory. I was like, you were doing interior design. Now you are selling food. He is actually sell Arabic food, like Arabic special, like some kind of food, vegetable, like a lot of weird dish. That he package it, and then he ship it throughout the world, okay, Arabic food. And I asked him, so have you ever done anything like this before in the food industry? He said, no. I said, then why do you open a factory like this? It costs millions. He actually costs him a lot of money. He said, you know, this is what I will do. I will open this factory and use this factory to apply for the church member in Nigeria to come to Dubai and work so that they can have a better life. And then we can have servers in here. We will build a church in Dubai. You know, if you want to work for his factory, every day you wake up at 5 for morning prayer. Every day, every single day, 5 a.m. for morning prayer. You can't do it, you go back to Africa. And if you do not attend service, you go back to Africa too. That's what he did. He said that, I want to use this place for your better life, for you and your family. But if the result of better life is that you might lose your faith, you go back to Africa. Safer. But you know what? He put in millions of dollars for the church to bring more members. And he said that one day we will have a good service, a church in Dubai. That's his dream. Okay. So he spent the money all for what? For a dream for God. And he said to me that, you know what? I have no idea about this business. I will keep on operating this business until I run out of money. Okay. I know that he told me that initial investment is $2 million. Initial. And he is prepared to lose money until he couldn't afford it anymore. He said it was never for money. It was for a dream to have more members, have a better life. Okay? So the first time I went there, he just got a place. Second time I went there, he was having the machine set up. He had no idea what he's doing, but he has all the machines set up. The third time I went, it's operational. And I asked him, are you able to break even? He told me that his order, like the order that he received from all over the world, is piled up for another year. He has like one entire year of orders that he couldn't finish. And I asked him, how do they know you? He said, I don't know. He said, the order just come in from different part of the world. Order from him, Arabic food. But hey, he doesn't know. He just fulfilled the order, making money. He said the factory right from the beginning is making money already, making profit already. Okay? So for him, you can be a wealthy man. I mean, you can be a wealthy man. It's not about how much money you have. It's all about here. Who do you have inside? Abraham was very wealthy, but the Bible in the book of Hebrews says his heart was never upon his property, his possession, or his wealth. It's all about a greater home above. Okay? So, here we see that if you want to avoid to be taken away by the world, you have to stay sober. Stay awake. This is the only way. You cannot wake up a person who is pretending to be sleeping. Right? Only if you are awake, then you can stay alert. You can be away from the temptation of the world. Second, this is the first one out. Second, the problem in verse 13. But exhort one another daily, where it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitful of sin. To be deceived. What's the problem? Deceived. The deceitful sin. Deceived by the sin. Deceived. Okay? In here, the author of Hebrews says that the world is enticing you and Satan tried to deceive you.
Right?
But he also provides the solution. How do you deal with that? Extort. By one another. So here, talking about companion. Here, talking about a helpful words. Someone who is really willing to yell at you, rebuke you for your good, for your own good. Okay? This is called true friend. True friend with helpful advice. Okay? Nowadays, many of us, we have friends. I hope, we all have friends. Okay? Yes, we do. We all have, even me, yes, I do. Okay? Not every time people questioning about this. Right? Yes, I do have friends. My wife is my good friend, okay? And my mom is my good friend, okay? So you know what? In here, how do you stay away from the deceitful trap from Satan? You might think I will be alert, I will be careful, I will do this, No. It's not about I, it's about we. You need someone to remind you because there is always a limitation of how much you can be watchful. You want to stay awake. I know that young people, you like to stay awake, you like to stay up. But how long can you stay up? One day? 24 hours? 48 hours? 72 hours? Can you go on and on without sleep? Somewhere along the way, you will definitely fall asleep. Right? Even you do not want to. Somewhere along the way that your body will shut down because we are limited in our physical strength. So, to avoid to be deceived by Satan, you cannot do it by yourself. Oh, I will be alert, I will be alert. Because when you are least aware, when you are losing guard somewhat, Satan comes. But at this time, if you have another person taking turn, okay? When you have another person or three people taking turns, everybody stay awake for 8 hours, okay? Then you know what? The day goes by. For you to stay awake 8 hours, no problem. When you fall asleep, you know that you got someone trustworthy that can be there to guard you and to help you, okay? So, look what happened to Eutychus, right? Eutychus, when he sit on the window panel, did he intentionally want to die that day? I will sit here, and people will see me. When I fall off, they will see that I have a good landing. Did he intentionally want to die on that day? No, he never thought that he would fall asleep and die on that day. Never. But he did. When you are least aware and you fall asleep without preparation, then you die. But at this time, if Eutychus got another friend, someone, he said, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm pretty tired already, so I'm going to catch some fresh air. I'll sit here, catch some fresh air. Hey, keep an eye on me. Or even better, he take a stream, a rope, tie himself with another friend. Make sure you find a big one. You tie to the big one. So when you fall off, and then the rope suddenly very tight, and then the big one say, pull you up. Hey, you fine. Make sure that you find a big one. Someone who has big faith. Someone who really know how to pray. Someone who is trustworthy and reliable. Someone is very close to God. Who can always be there with a true, genuine, biblical advice for you. Extort by one another will pull you away from all the trap from Satan. Even you do not see it. Because, hey, you know what? You don't see it, but he saw it. You fall asleep, but no problem. He can continue to guide you. You know that my little kid, my daughter, I don't know what was 8 years old, but now she really like to play, this, I close my eyes and you have to make sure that I don't bump into the tree thing. So, whenever we get on the street, she will be like, Daddy, 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 I will close my eyes now and I will hold you. Don't let me hit anything. You know, that's what we do. In the beginning, I purposely let her hit something. It didn't turn out very good because my wife was not very happy. She said, "I'm actually building a shadow in my, like my daughter would not trust me anymore." So now I'm good. Not only I will lead her, I will actually stand in front of her to make sure that she know, even she close her eyes, that Daddy is in the front. Like protecting her from anything. You know what? That's the friend that we need. Yes, we need Jesus. Jesus is this kind of friend. But other than Jesus, may God help us that we can also find big friends. Big in spirituality. Big in spirituality. Okay? Find a good friend. Find a big friend. Find a friend that will be there too, willing to extol. Extol is like rebuke. It's not nice words. We like nice words. You like nice words. Oh, yeah. What a good hairdo. Right? Even? You know that we'd always enjoy. All right. We always enjoy good words, positive words, nice words. But sometimes the truth might hurt. I am not talking about the hair anymore. Okay? Now I'm talking about the laugh, the sound of laughing. Now, what I'm saying is, sometimes good words might hurt. Just like Chinese we say, good medicine always tastes bitter, right? So be careful if you always enjoy praises, positive, nice people. Like people say, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Maybe you need to find a different friend. You find someone who can really be there to point out to you, hey, be careful. Be careful. And they do it because they really care. That's the friend that you want. Someone who will extol you to make sure that you do not fall into the trap. So during the NYTS, if you have a friend sitting next to you and he or she pinch you very, very hard when you fall asleep and it hurts, you see blood come out from it, you show with your like twisted face and say, thank you. Okay, that's all praise service.